and we've been spending quite a bit of time dealing with Joseph's family. We're getting into the part that really focuses more on Joseph. We're going to begin in verse 1. I know I read this same text last week. Actually, I'm adding one verse this week. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, where last week we read verses 1 through 4. And Genesis 37, and God's word says in verse 1, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father an evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." You know, last week we talked about the benefits of the Father's love. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be loved by the Heavenly Father. And there are so many benefits that are available to a child of God. And we talked about that last week. However, if you're a child of God, Satan's not happy about that.
That's right.
And although he can't take your soul and he can't destroy your soul eternally, he wants to make your life as miserable as possible. And you know, not only Satan is not happy with people being children of God, there's a lot of Satan's children that aren't happy with people being children of God. And the sad reality is, even some Christians aren't happy with other Christians. And sometimes the Father's love is not just a benefit. Sometimes it's a difficulty. Sometimes the Father's love can cause some difficulty in your life. Not from the Father, of course, but from those who don't appreciate it like you do. See, we looked at Joseph last week, and I shared with you the fact that it's interesting that his name's mentioned when it says the generations of Jacob. All it says is Joseph. Well, he had other sons. He had 11 other sons. Benjamin was the last. Reuben was the first. Why is Joseph mentioned first? Why is he loved the most? Why did his brothers hate him so much? We talked about the coat of many colors last week and how God's blessing in our lives ought to be something that we appreciate and we see as honor. And being a child of God is something that we should live out in our lives, and we shouldn't hide it. And we should honor God as his child. But we've got to realize that if we're living for the Lord, that doesn't mean everybody is. And sometimes when folks aren't living for the Lord and others are living for the Lord, the ones that aren't living for the Lord don't really like it. And we're going to talk about that today, about some of the difficulties that come from the Father's love. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us as we look at this text of Scripture. Pray that you'd work in our hearts. And I pray that your will would be done in our lives. Help us to learn from your truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, here in this text of Scripture, we see a reality that really affects Joseph for a long time. And I personally, as I mentioned to you last week, I personally do not think this was his doing. I know I've heard lots of messages on Joseph. I've been in ministry for 29 years and been saved since I was 8 years old. I've been in church
since before I was born. So I've heard a lot of messages, and I've heard a lot of messages on Joseph, and I've heard a lot of people's take on this text of Scripture. And I've heard people, you know, kind of present Joseph as a bratty little tattletale, and I made it very clear last week, I don't think that was it. I think he was a trusted truth teller by his father. His father trusted him because he knew he was going to tell the truth, and even at his own detriment. And we all know how, if we're going to be truth tellers, sometimes it's going to cost us something. And I think that's what's going on here. And so you can have your opinion. I'll have my opinion. And when we get to heaven, maybe we'll figure it out. I don't know. But I don't believe he's a tattletale at all. I don't think he's bratty at all. I don't think his brothers hated him because of him. I think his brothers hated him because his father loved him a lot. And his father doted on him. And his father chose him. However, why did his father choose him to be the leader? I mentioned it last week. One reason is he was the firstborn of Rachel, his favored wife. That was the one he worked 7 years. He thought he was marrying. And he got Leah. But he worked 7 more years to get Rachel because that's who he loved and that's who he wanted. And that's who he was supposed to have all along. And so that's one of the reasons why Joseph was chosen to be the head of the family after Jacob, because he was born of Rachel. In this text, it says he loved him because he was the son of his old age. He was born later than everybody, than most of the other boys. But here's another reason. He was always faithful to his father. We talked about that last week and how we need to be faithful to our father. And his brothers were not. We've been looking at the life of Joseph and the life of his family, and we've seen all kinds of problems that those older sons have already created in the life of Jacob and his family. And so, and I think that has a lot to do with this attitude and these emotions that are going on here that we have recorded in the text, the fact that his brothers hated him. So sometimes people like to do what they like to do, but then when it doesn't quite work out the way they intended on it to, the Bible talks about having a mouthful of gravel. You know, when it's all said and done, it didn't quite turn out the way you wanted it to. See, Reuben thought by taking his father's handmaid, that would set, he was taking over the family. Didn't work for him. It didn't work for him at all. See, a lot of times we have a plan for our lives and it's not the same as God's plan, and we kind of strike out and do our thing and we expect God to get on board with it. And when God doesn't get on board with it, it doesn't work out, and then we want to get mad at God instead of saying, hey, I should have done God's plan. I think that's a lot what's going on here with these emotions that these brothers are having toward their not only their father, but their brother Joseph as well. And the bottom line is, Joseph was hated because of Jacob's love for him. That's why he was hated. Jacob loved him more than the other boys, and his brothers hated him for that. And the text says it was because he was the son of his old age. And we already looked last week about how the fact he was born of his favored wife. But it's also because he was faithful. Joseph was not the one that slept with his father's handmaid. Joseph was not the one that tricked all the men in an entire village into something to where they could kill them all. Joseph didn't do any of that stuff. Joseph was not the son that, when sent out to take care of the herds, was goofing off. Joseph was the one that you sent to do a job. You knew the job was going to get done. That's who Joseph was. He was faithful. And you know what? As children of God, God wants all his children to be faithful to him. Now, none of us are perfect. See, those pauses, those are amen spots. I told you last week, the sermon goes much longer when I have to coax you into your part, okay? None of us are perfect. Amen. See, it works really good. But being faithful doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means when you mess up, you get it fixed. And you don't try to mess up again. You don't make it easy to mess up again. You try to stay faithful. And that's what God calls us to be, is faithful. Not perfect, faithful. And I don't know about you, but I'm really glad about 1 John 1:9. That He's faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins to Him. Aren't you glad God's faithful to us? And even when we mess up, we can get it right if we repent. If we truly repent, we can get it right and we can be forgiven and we can be restored in fellowship with the Lord and we can get back on that path of faithfulness. You know, it's an interesting thing. I don't know if you've ever watched, you know, a tightrope walker or something like that, but it's interesting how usually they're moving around up here because balance is really never perfected. It's a constant adjustment to stay balanced. And faithfulness is the same way. Faithfulness is a constant adjustment to stay faithful. Because the world is trying to pull us away from being faithful to the Lord. And Satan is trying to pull us away from being faithful to the Lord. And our flesh is not always cooperative in being faithful to the Lord. And we've got to adjust to all these things that are pulling us to one side or the other. And in order to stay faithful to the Lord, it's a constant adjustment. And sometimes we get out of balance just a little bit too much and we got to have the Lord's help to get us back in. Amen. But I'm sure glad the Lord is faithful to help us get back in balance. See, Joseph was faithful to his father. And we need to be faithful as children of God.
Amen.
And we need to understand something. Everyone is not pleased by a faithful Christian. Everybody's not pleased by a faithful Christian. God is pleased by a faithful Christian. But everybody else is not pleased by a faithful Christian. See, the lost are not always pleased by a faithful Christian. Because sometimes the Christian being faithful kind of encroaches on the lost person's lifestyle and the things that he wants to do. They don't like that. You know, when you're witnessing to somebody, one of the first things you have to do is help them understand they're lost.
That's right.
And a lost condition means that we're sinners and we're sinful.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we need a Savior, because we're sinners and we're sinful. But most of us as human beings do not like somebody telling us that we're a sinner and we're sinful, right? That kind of ruffles our feathers a little bit, right? It kind of gets the hair on the back of your neck to stand up a little bit, right? That kind of gets your dander up a little bit, right? For some people, them there are fighting words, you know? But the bottom line is, if you're going to get somebody to the cross of salvation, you've got to start with their condition where they are and why they need salvation. That's why for me, when I'm witnessing to somebody, when I get to that part about all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one, I point at myself first.
Very good.
Because it's easier for somebody else to get in the boat when somebody else is already in the boat.
That's right.
So I put myself in the boat as the sinful sinner before I invite them in, because the Bible does say all have sinned, right?
Amen.
So that does include me, right? Every human being's in need of a Savior, whether they want to admit it or not. That includes me, right? Just because I have the Savior doesn't mean I don't need the Savior. I'm thankful I've got the Savior. Amen?
That's right. Boy.
But the reason I'm saved is because I realized I was a sinner.
That's right.
And I've blown it. I've broken God's law. I've offended God's holiness. I've gone against God's word. I've rebelled against God's authority. I'm guilty of all of that. But the bottom line is, some people don't like to be told they're a sinner. Some Christians don't like to be told they're doing wrong. I'm just saying, everybody's not happy with a faithful Christian. You know, if a Christian's not being faithful and he sees a faithful Christian, that he wants to say that guy's a hypocrite or whatever, because he's not being what he knows he's supposed to be. Everybody's not happy with a faithful Christian. Just like Joseph's brothers weren't happy with him being a faithful son. That's part of the problem. See, everyone is not pleased by seeing a Christian being blessed for his faithfulness. Before I go to that point, I want to elaborate on the other one just a little bit more. Because I just had an epiphany. Just something popped in my brain. A testimony of a fellow I met at a softball game this spring. And I was talking to him, and I was always trying to find ways to talk to people about the Lord and invite them out to church and whatever. And come to find out, this guy went to church, and he shared his testimony of salvation. And he told me a little bit about his life, and I said, "How in the world did you get saved?" And he told me that, you know, he was a football player in high school, and he actually came to the university to play play football and have a scholarship, and he was a rodeoer, and he was at a rodeo, and he was in this rodeo circuit, and there was several cowboys in this rodeo, in several of these rodeos. He kept watching them, and they were believers, and they were very open about it, and they were very, you know, very solid in their faith and very honorable to the Lord in their faithfulness to Him. And they didn't do a lot of things everybody else did. And they just were faithful to the Lord. They just were good Christians. And that impressed him. Even as a lost person, that impressed him. Now, some lost people are blessed by a faithful Christian, but not all. This guy was. It intrigued him. What did they have that caused them not to be like everybody else? And that intrigued him. And he met a couple of football players, the same thing. God was working in his heart. God was drawing him to himself. And he was using these people and their testimony to draw him to him. And he started asking him questions. "Why don't you go out with the guys afterwards to the bar? Why don't you, you know, talk, you know, dirty like everybody else? Why aren't you a cowboy?" They say, "We are a cowboy. We're just not doing that stuff. We ride horses like everybody else. We buck broncos like everybody else. We rope cattle like everybody else. We ride bulls like everybody else. We are cowboys. We just don't do all that other stuff." Why not? Because we have Jesus as our Savior.
Amen.
He saved us from our sins, and we want to live for Him. We want to honor Him, and we want to live a life of thankfulness to Him. See, and he got saved because of their faithfulness to the Lord. So, if some lost people are rubbed the wrong way by your faithfulness, don't let that bug you. Because sooner or later, you're going to come up to somebody and they're going to be blessed by your faithfulness. And even with Christians that aren't being faithful and they want to take it out on you and call you a hypocrite or call you whatever, don't let that bother you. Because I promise you, there's another Christian watching your life and they're struggling in their life and they need to see a testimony of a faithful Christian.
Amen.
And they're going to be encouraged by it and they're going to be helped by it. So don't let the bad mouthing of the ones that are frustrated by your life keep you from being a help to the ones that need to see you living for the Lord. Don't let the negativity of others affect you. See, everyone is not pleased by seeing a Christian being blessed by faithfulness. God blesses faithfulness, amen?
Amen, that's right.
God blesses obedience, amen? And as parents, we ought to follow the example of the perfect Father, the Heavenly Father, and we ought to bless obedience and we ought to correct disobedience. That's just biblical parenting. But you know what? There's some people that don't like to see a faithful Christian be blessed by the Lord. You know why? Because they're not being blessed. The reason they're not being blessed is they're not being faithful. And instead of admitting the problem, they want to, you know, blame shift onto the person being faithful. You know, sometimes they're envious of those blessings. You know, "I wish I was blessed by that." I hear a lot of people say, you know, "Well, he's a special Christian." Well, guess what? God wants all his children to be special children.
That's right.
God wants all his children to be faithful children. That's what God wants. And we're the ones that decide if we're going to be faithful. We're the ones that decide if we're going to walk with God and honor him in our lives. See, Joseph was faithful to his father, and his brothers didn't like it. And if we're going to be faithful to our Heavenly Father, everybody's not going to like it. Even some other Christians aren't going to like it, because it's a source of conviction. When somebody's living the life God wants them to live, and somebody's not living the life God doesn't want them to live, or they're living the life God doesn't want them to live, and this person's being blessed, and this person's not being blessed, and this person is getting upset with this guy because he's being blessed and he's not being blessed, that's convicting. Here in the text, it says that Joseph's brothers were envious of him. A lot of times, Christians are envious of other Christians. "Man, I wish I was blessed like that guy. I wish I could do what that guy does."
That's right.
You know what? We all have gifts and abilities, right? And none of them are the same for any of us. But God wants to use all of us for His glory here on earth and for His work in His church. All of us, everybody. Trust me, there's plenty of work to go around. There's things that my wife and I talk about that we would love to do, but she can't get freed up because nobody steps up for some things that she's doing. And man, if everybody did something, there's so much more we could do. But the bottom line is, God has something for everybody to do. And God wants to use everybody for His glory. And God wants to use all His children in His will. But we decide if we're going to be usable or not. We decide if we're going to be blessed or not. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Nobody's ever challenged me on this. If you want to challenge me on it, that's fine with me. I'll take on the challenge. But I believe God wants to bless us even more than we want to be blessed.
Oh, yeah.
But it's us that hinder His blessings. There's times I say to my kids, I would like to do this. And it would be a wonderful thing. But you're acting like this. And I don't want to reinforce this. So we're not going to do this. Any parents been like that before? Of course. It's just logical parenting. And I believe God wants to bless us so much more than we experience. But the things we do hinder His blessing. See, sometimes people aren't pleased because they're convicted. Now, whose fault's that? Now, I'm not saying you ought to say, oh, look at me, I'm super Christian, I'm living for the Lord, and you're not. No, give me a break. That is so pathetic. Of course God doesn't want that. That's pride. Sin, period. Amen? That's not the point. The point is not look at me. The point is just, hey, Frank, be faithful. I've got enough problems keeping my eyes on me and keeping me faithful. I don't have any time to be, you know, checking up on somebody else. Trust me. I know me better than any of y'all know me. But it's not about a show. And Joseph, I don't think he was showy. People like to criticize him for telling about the dream. Was it the smartest thing to do? Probably not. His brothers hated him already. But was it braggadocious? I don't think so. If God gave you a special dream, don't you think you're going to tell people about it? Of course you are. I mean, it was enthusiasm. It was excitement. It was, wow, look, this is amazing. I mean, if that happened to you, you'd probably tell people too. Even if the people didn't want to hear it, you'd probably tell them anyway, right? I don't think this is a negative on Joseph. I think it just is bringing out the reality of his brothers. And here's something else. And this is a tough pill to swallow, and I've had to swallow it. Promise you. I've had to swallow this pill recently. It is the trials in life that really reveal what we are on the inside, not the easy things in life. It's the trials. Trials don't make us trials reveal what we really are. They bring to surface the things that need to be worked on. And that's a tough pill to swallow. I've had to swallow it. See, Joseph is just staying steady. He doesn't change. In this entire narrative, in his entire life story, he doesn't change. He is steady Eddie. He is just steady as can be, solid rock. Why? Because he's focused on being faithful. That's all his focus is. Didn't matter if it's his being the favored son of his father. He's just focused on being faithful. Doesn't matter if it's when he's thrown in a pit. He's just focused on being faithful. Doesn't matter if he's sold into slavery. He's just focused on being faithful. Doesn't matter if Potiphar likes him. He's just focused on being faithful. Doesn't matter if Potiphar throws him in prison. He's just focused on being faithful. It doesn't matter if he's treated the worst as a prisoner or the best as a prisoner. He's focused on being faithful. It doesn't matter if he's explaining a dream or being forgotten and left in the dungeon. It doesn't matter. He's just focused on one thing, being faithful. Your circumstances do not have to determine that.
That's right.
We need to just focus on being faithful. That's the one thing I love about Joseph. He is single focus, faithful. Didn't matter if he's on the mountaintop or in the valley or in the dungeon or in the palace or in the pit or wherever he was just focused on being faithful. That's what I love about this guy. He's amazing. I'm not there yet, trust me. I'm not even close. One day I hope to be close to Joseph. I'm still working on it. So if you feel like you're still working on it, guess what? You're in really good company. Just the key is we need to keep working on it. See, Joseph was hated for God's love for him. God had a special plan for Joseph, and he revealed it to him in a dream. His brothers didn't like it. Is that Joseph's fault? No. Is that God's fault? No. It's his brother's fault. Amen? See, we can blame shift all we want. We can try to, until we take ownership, we're not going to fix anything. And his brothers, they had to face it. I mean, later on in the story, you know, I mean, I'm preaching through it, but you've already read it, right? This is not new information. But sooner or later, they had to face the facts of what they did. It was their fault. They had to own up. And things got better after that. And that's the same for all of us. When we finally face it and own up, things do get better. Maybe not right away, but they do get better. See, God had a special plan for Joseph, and his brothers didn't like it. Guess what? God has a special plan for your life.
That's right.
God has a will for your life, a perfect will for your life. The Bible tells about it in Romans. He wants to reveal that will to us. He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to honor Him. He wants us to use the gifts and the talents that He's given us for His glory. He's got a will for your life. You say, well, I'm not going to be a pastor. Guess what? That's not God's will for everybody's life. It wasn't God's will for my life all along. I was a youth pastor. Now I'm a pastor. Did God's will change? No. It evolved. It was this, and it changed to that. It moved from one thing. But the will of God for my life hasn't changed. Serve Him. That's the will of God for every Christian. Serve Him in whatever capacity it is. I know people that are in law, and they literally see their profession as a calling from God. And I wish everybody saw their profession as a calling from God. I know people in education. They view themselves as a servant of God in that field. I wish every Christian saw themselves that way, because that's the way God sees it. That's how we should see it. Oh, you say, Pastor, I work in the mill. Hey, we need missionaries in the mill. Trust me, we need lots of missionaries in the mill. Amen? That may be exactly where God wants to use you in this mission field. But the key is, you've got to see yourselves as a servant of God. You've got to see yourself as in His will. You've got to see yourself as doing what He wants you to do. He has a will for your life. He has a plan, a special plan for your life. And it's to bring Him glory in whatever capacity it is. It's to bring Him glory. He has a place for your life in His kingdom work. And the sad reality to me, one of the saddest things that I see in Christendom today is so many people who call themselves followers of Christ who are not engaged and enthusiastic and passionate about being a servant of the Lord in His kingdom work here on this earth. They're just doing their thing. They're going their own way. And they acknowledge God on Sunday. But other than that, it's their life and they're living it. Man, that is not the Christian life the Bible talks about. The Christian life that God's Word talks about and that God wants for His children is a 24/7, 365, all the time, no time off the clock, being a Christian and follower of Christ. That's what God wants. But in our modern culture, we've made it into something far less than that. And way too many people who are, and I can't doubt their salvation. That's not my judgment. I'm not cut out for that job anyway. But the reality is they're missing out on being used by God in His kingdom. And they're missing out on blessings for that use. And they're missing out on so much. And they could have so much more with the Lord. See, God revealed His special plan to Joseph. And you know what we need to do? We need God to reveal, we need to let God reveal His plan in our lives.
Amen. Very good.
That's why it's so important to every day start your day getting focused on the Lord. Through prayer and through His Word, to focus on the Lord. To let Him guide you through that day, let Him lead you through that day as He guides you in His plan and His will to accomplish His glory that day. Joseph, no matter where he was, he saw himself as where God wanted him at that time. He just needed to be faithful to God and bring Him glory. That's the way we need to be. God has a special plan for your life, just like He did for Joseph. And God wants to reveal that plan to us. And He uses His Word to do that. He uses His Spirit to do that. He uses the preaching and teaching of His Word to do that. You know, I was sitting in a, I don't remember if it was a Wednesday night or Sunday night. I know it was the evening service. I think it was a Wednesday night service when God spoke to my heart very clearly out of the preacher's message about something He wanted me to do in my life. After that, I wondered, what if I hadn't been in that service? I would have wasted so much more time not hearing that. God would have had to do it another way, and He could have done it another way. But I'm glad I was there to hear it that day.
Amen.
To speed up the process. Amen. See, God uses these things to guide us, and God will prepare us for His will. If you're saved, He's given you gifts. He's given you abilities. You have natural talents and natural skills that you were given at birth. All of those things are things that God's gifted you with that He wants to use for His glory in His will for your life here on earth. God wants to use all that for your good and His glory while you're here. God, through His Spirit, empowers us and He equips us and enables us to do His will for our lives. See, He reveals His special plan. He did it for Joseph in this dream. His brothers didn't like it. Here's another thing to think about. His brothers thought they were thwarting God's plan. Didn't happen, did it? No. Guess what? You're wasting your time working against God's plan. Amen. You might as well just get on board and cooperate. Amen. You're wasting your time working against God's plan. See, God fulfilled His special plan for Joseph through Joseph.
Amen.
And that's what God wants to do in your life and in my life. He wants to not only have a plan for us and reveal His plan, but He wants to fulfill His plan in us and through us. See, we need to submit to Him to make that easier and quicker. We need to cooperate with Him. We need to walk with Him so He can work in us and He can work through us to accomplish His will in our lives. I don't know how many notes I've said that very thing. Walk with God each day as He works His will in your life to get you to the place He wants you to be for His glory here on this earth. That's exactly what happened with Joseph, and that's exactly what God wants to do with each and every one of us. The last thing I want you to think about is this. Joseph was hated for the favor shown to him. He was hated for the favor shown to him. He was hated in a lot of different ways. His brothers is the most obvious. I think Potiphar's wife is also kin to that as well. But he was hated for the favor shown to him. And I want to switch gears and I want to become very practical here, okay? And I think I've made it pretty clear I'm not throwing any rocks at Joseph, right? Okay. But I want to shift gears just a little bit and get real practical about parenting. And we're going to come to a conclusion at the end, and I'm going to just give you a little glimpse at the end. Parental favoritism is always a bad idea. See, Jacob set Joseph up for all this, not Joseph. Now, I understand Jacob's perspective. I understand that he was born of Rachel, and I understand that he was born of his old age, and I understand that he was a faithful son. I understand all that stuff. I understand what Reuben did. I understand. I've read it just like you have. But I'm just telling you, parental favoritism is always a bad idea. It never works well. And I've seen it, you've seen it, we've all seen it. And it's easy to do. It's so insidious. A compliant child that's always a blessing, Oh, that's easy, right? A defiant child that's always difficult? That's very hard, isn't it? It's so insidious to get sucked into. But I'm just telling you, parental favoritism is always a bad idea. The pastor's paragraph talks about that a little bit, and I would encourage you to read through it and just meditate on it and let the Lord help you in it. But this didn't start with Joseph. Jacob experienced favoritism, parental favoritism. Jacob was beloved by his mother. Why? He was soft and an indoors guy, and he helped around the house, and she liked that. And Esau was a rough, rugged outdoors guy, and his dad liked that. Talk about a rift in their family. I mean, not only did they have sibling rivalry, they had parent rivalry. I mean, it was a messed up family. So I understand that Jacob saw it and he experienced it. And I even understand that God chose Jacob over Esau. I understand all that stuff. But even with Isaac and Rebecca, Isaac experienced parental favoritism too. He wasn't the only son of his father, Abraham. Ishmael was too, right? But Ishmael was born of the servant woman. And Ishmael was treated by Sarah as born of a servant woman too. And I've given you the references. They're in your notes, right? Genesis 17 and Genesis 16 and Genesis 21. They're in there, right? Okay. That's your homework. Hope you get an A on it. But you can read about it. See, Ishmael was born outside of the will of God. He was born to Hagar, not to Sarah. Isaac was the promised child of God. And who was the one that created that whole situation? Did God create that? No. It was Abraham and Sarah.
Right.
So often, by not being in the will of God and by not letting God lead you, we create problems that are problems to us and they're our own doing. So Isaac experienced parental favoritism. Ishmael ended up being shunned later on in life. See, Abraham was 99 when Ishmael was 13. And when all the males were circumcised and God gave that covenant. And Ishmael was at least 14 when Hagar and he were sent out because he was mocking Isaac. Isaac was chosen by God to carry on the promise. See, God's children, all of us, experience his unmerited favor, don't we? Every one of us do. None of us deserve his grace. None of us can earn his grace on our own. None of us can measure up to his holiness by ourselves. Every one of us experience his unmerited favor. But you know what? I'm so glad that God offers that grace to whosoever will receive it. Doesn't matter who you are here. Doesn't matter what you've done here. Doesn't matter what your past is. Doesn't even matter what you're struggling with right now. You are whosoever. And God says that his grace is available to whosoever shall call upon him. And I don't know about you, but I'm really glad about that. Because we all have issues, don't we? None of us have it all together. We all have struggles. We all have trials. We all have difficulties. We all mess up. We're all desperately in need of God's grace. And God blesses his children. God also blesses his obedient children. And he chastens his disobedient children. It's the same for us all. His grace is available to us all. His blessings are upon us all. And when we go into sin, we're chastened. It's the same for us all. God's the same. It's consistent. And as parents, we need to be consistent. We should not show parental favoritism. As we see in this story and many other stories in the Bible, it creates division in the family. It creates turmoil in the family. It creates jealousy in the family. And we even see it in this text. It says they envied him because he was loved by his father. It even creates hatred in his family. We see that in this story as well. And it creates destruction in the family. We see that in this story as well. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The best book on parenting is this book right here. The key is getting in it and discerning it and letting the Holy Spirit guide you in it. And the best role model for parenting is not your parents. It's God the Heavenly Father. And I'm not down on your parents. You probably had great parents. But they weren't perfect parents, right? Because they were human, right? God's the perfect Father. He's the greatest role model for parenting. Let God speak to your heart. Maybe you can see some struggles about that parental favoritism you need to work on. Maybe you realize you need to experience that grace, the God's grace in your life, be born into His family. Maybe you're suffering for just trying to be a Christian, and the other people don't like it. I hope you've been encouraged just to press on. I don't know what your need is here today, but I know God knows your need. And I know God brought you. And I know God laid this sermon on my heart. And it was supposed to be preached last Sunday night, but we had West Coast Baptist College here. So it was preached today. So I know God's in charge of that too. So He wanted you to hear it. I don't know why He wanted you to hear it, but I know He wanted you to hear it. You need to decide why He wanted you to hear it and do what He wants you to do with it. There's some action points on your outline. I'd encourage you to make a commitment to whatever God speaks to your heart about.